sick of all you sycophants, ignorance and miscreants, simpletons and little ants, trying to split their sentience. People peddle pestilence, land pipe on their settlements, and I don't think it was even food for it was excrement. Get your head in it. Second wind represent white shit. Kid, I never stepped in it. I reckon it's older than the New Testament.
Yo, what is up? Welcome to fucking episode 50, episode 50, motherfucker, of Tequila. How's it going? I'm your host, Daniel Regueira. With me today in person, I have Miss Kyle Noya. Hello.
Yay, hello.
And then I have on the line Mr. Alex Cohen.
Yo, what's good, guys?
Yep. And then I have Mr. Eric Shulkin.
5-0. I can't believe it.
That's right.
Wow.
That's a lot of work you've put in.
It's a big number.
It's a big number. Motherfucking 50. Let's
not
do
bad,
it.
Not bad.
Okay, so I guess we should start by saying what we're drinking. Kyle has her own little cocktail of, what is it, Gatorade and vodka, right?
Yep.
Ooh, very similar to my own, actually.
There you go. What do you got, Alex?
I got my Gelson's Finest Silver Vodka, as you can see, but the viewer, the listeners can
not. Is that a plastic bottle?
Oh, it better be plastic. It's all I drink.
This
is a $10 bottle right there. And my chaser is lovely, all Diet Coke.
There you go.
Classic. So,
tequila not brought to you by Diego.
What do you have, Eric?
Hornitos, Plata.
There you go.
So.
There you go.
So I got tequila.
This tequila that's called Cimarron.
It's badass.
That's new for you.
This guy, I went to like a liquor store nearby that's somewhat fancy, a little hipster liquor store. And this one was one of the cheaper ones they had. It was like $30.
What a fancy liquor store. Yes,
that's right.
It's not too bad. It's been really good. Better than some of the other ones at the lower price points I've had. Fuck it. Let's do it. Let's take the shot.
So you're saying more expensive tequila is better than...
Well, no, I've paid $30 for 1800 and...
Yeah, those are garbage.
Olmeca, 1800 is decent. Olmeca Altos was also decent, but this is better for the same price.
I like Olmeca. I like Olmeca bottles. They look like...
Olmeca sounds like Olmec.
That's what they look like. That's what they look like.
Well, no, it's Spanish for Olmec, yeah.
No, but the design of the bottle, they look like Olmec, right?
Like Legends of the Hidden Temple.
Little bumpy...
Yeah.
I don't know, they're squared bottles, and they got a little bumpy thing on this. I don't know how to describe it, man. Words.
Let's take a shot.
Well said.
To the purple piranhas.
Okay, Kyle, count. He's just doing it.
Okay. 3, 2, 1, boom.
Okay. 50. Timer. Get started. Okay. So
Silver
let's do
Barracudas.
It. So today, Eric was just like upset that he hasn't been on in a while and wanted to talk about the Switch and stuff. But before we do that.
Oh, so you're saying I'm in my feelings.
Yeah, you know, it's okay to be in your feelings. There's nothing wrong with that.
Correct.
You know, episode 50, this is midlife crisis. Sometimes you're in your feelings. Sometimes you got to, you know, deal with.
Listen.
And we're all about the non-toxic masculinity.
That's
we
right.
can talk
right.
about the Gillette commercial if we
I
want.
Was going to say, we have to make this entire episode about the Gillette commercial. Please.
Oh, my God.
I would love to talk about that commercial.
Follow-up podcast to this podcast. Just roll right into it afterwards.
Okay, real quick. Someone break down the Gillette commercial. Go. What happened in said commercial?
I would love
no
to do
one,
that.
No
Can
one's
I do
going.
That?
Okay,
no,
go ahead.
I would
right
love
now.
To. Okay, so basically it's a minute-long commercial that kind of... so traditionally Gillette has been a very, you know, masculine-leaning company. The tagline is the best man can get. And so they turned the entire idea on its head by the first thing they show, and actually and you can hear from the commercial, is like the words sexual assault, toxic masculinity, and like all these buzzwords from, you know, like just feminism in general and also the culture at large. And they immediately start showing all of these, like, you know, news sources that are, you know, showing the decline of the modern man in the sense that, like, where it's very, very long decline, where it's been at a very low point and that we've reached a point where if someone needs to take a stand, and Gillette wants to take a stand in the sense that, like, we have to start raising our children better, raising our men better and like, set an example in a way that's, like, is this the best a man can get? Is the way the modern man is acting in terms of like like the lack of vulnerability, lack of being able to like, you know, express your feelings outside of like violence or, you know, shooting up a school. It's disgusting. I mean, it's real. It's very real.
Grilling. Sorry, we're watching the commercial right now.
That was my favorite, what you just said, Kyle, was there's some really powerful imagery, and that was my favorite part, where it's like the whole lineup of grills and all the guys saying at the same time, boys will be boy, boys will be boy. Pretty brilliant commercial.
It was.
I'm glad us men can be here to mansplain it for everybody.
I actually haven't seen it.
Watch the commercial for
yourself. Explained to me. Yeah. I'm just like peeking through it now as y'all talk.
In any case, the reaction to this has been mixed. There's plenty of people saying, oh my god, this is just what we need. We need to redefine masculinity. And then there's a bunch of people like, why is this an attack on American men?
Yeah.
The thing is, the commercial isn't even pushed, like, they say it's like pushing a narrative and trying to be woke fakely, but it's not even saying anything that radical. It's just saying, like, don't raise our kids so they don't bully each
just
other.
Just literally, I'm looking at it on YouTube. It has like 2/3 of the likes are thumbs down or thumbs down, which is fucking ridiculous.
Much like Nintendo Switch Online YouTube videos.
Oh man. Okay, save it for later. Save it for later.
Save it for later. I'm steamed. I'm steamed. Okay.
You're ready. You're primed. Yeah. I mean, like, I appreciate the message like 1,000,000%. I do
it's
question.
Impossible.
I do question. No, 1,000,000% is the thing that is possible, and it's what I. Okay. It's my level of appreciation.
It's what he feels. Let him feel it.
That's right. Don't question my feelings, Eric. No.
You toxic bitch.
We just degraded
I feel
real fast.
Attacked. This is right back to the bullying.
Full circle. Yeah, full circle. No, it's a great message. I just and I love that they're doing it. I just question like brands, you know, putting out these.
Is the timer running right now?
Yes,
yep.
It is.
Is this part of the time? Okay.
Yep.
Oh, it is. That's why I'm trying to get through it real quick.
Start pouring already. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I am suspicious of brands being like this. Is like trying to be. I don't know.
Woke.
Yeah.
Well,
this was just so well done though that it was actually
It is good.
It's a pretty powerful message. And like you were saying, Kyle, I feel like it was overall pretty even-handed. It was like, hey, let's not be like super shitty.
Yeah.
Men. But I guess that was a step too far. And like you had razors ending up in toilets, which was great because you can't flush a razor. So
they had to go in and reach and pick it up back up again after that picture.
So that
this is kind of like when Nike had the ad with
Kaepernick.
And everyone was like burning their Nike shoe or like cutting the Nike logo off. And it's like, sir, you already gave them your money.
Yeah.
This
is not how any of this works.
The internet, Twitter especially, is just like a rife platform for cell phoneage. It's really great.
Wait, so Daniel, do you have a problem with the Nike ad as well in the same way that it's like a brand?
Yes.
Like, okay.
Yes, 100%.
I don't know. Like, I'd rather them appeal to wokeness than appeal to toxic masculinity, for example.
Yeah.
it may not be perfect, but as far as what a company can do, this is sort of in the right direction.
Right. I think given the context of like shitty capitalism, this is probably best case scenario. Is like we try to be better people.
I guess. Yeah. Listen, I'll save my reservations until Wendy's weighs in.
One of my favorite parts about the ad though is actually one of the earlier scenes was when they have like a projection of one of the older ads, like a man like shaving and like breaking through it and like fuck the old version of us.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's like takes dope. a lot of courage. And I think it's like hard to
courage.
Do you have it? Where is it?
Fuck. I'm so slow. It's too
low. It was way too soft. That was way too.
Yeah, the sample I have is too low.
Yeah.
Oh well.
There's a soundboard on the podcast.
Anyway,
just so everybody
moving
knows.
On from that smooth.
We'll make better use of it later. What are we talking about today for the 50th episode of Tequila?
Okay, so before we start talking about the Switch, I wanted to shout out. So these people I follow, Alex, I actually told you about these guy or this guy the last time you were on the episode while we were off air. H Bomber Guy, this gamer, this guy on YouTube who does gaming videos but also like leftist content as well. Is
this guy? I watched a lot of his videos. He's become one of my favorites. Yeah, go on.
He's fucking amazing. He's doing a live stream right now of playing Donkey Kong 64, and what he's doing. I put the link in the doc. And all the money that he's getting, he's doing it to raise money for a charity that's for this trans organization in the UK where he's from. He's British. And he's been doing it for like the past, like, I don't know how many hours. I think he took a break to like sleep a little bit. But he has over $110,000 at this point for this organization called Mermaids in the UK. And he made a promise to the donors that when if he got past 100,000, he was going to write Sobek on his forehead in a Sharpie, which he did, which is like a thing in a few of his videos. So now he's just playing with Sobek. Now he's walking off.
Sobek?
He's taking a bathroom break.
The Sobek. Crocodile god of Egyptian mythology? Sobek?
Yes. Yes. Just watch his videos.
That is random
It's so good.
I just watched a video of his like 2 days ago about like the myth of, what was it? He was like debunking
flat earthers?
Yeah, the flat earthers were good.
It's so good.
It was really good.
But like in the voice chat that he has going on Discord, he has other people, like other people from what people are calling Left Tube, like Philosophy Tube, Lindsay Ellis, the woman who does awesome like film critiques. Sean, who's like, his avatar is like this little skull with sunglasses. And a few other like people on YouTube that are really popular that are kind of like coalescing into this coherent group. Cool. It's just really cool. Go check it out.
I'm watching it right now. He does indeed have Sobek written on his forehead. I can't confirm that.
But Donkey Kong 64 was like a bad game. Like, not a good game.
No, but he has one of his most popular videos is this video that's like a 40-minute take on why speedrunning is awesome. And like a good chunk of it, like a good fourth or fifth of it, is talking about Donkey Kong 64. And the rest of it's talking about other games like Dark Souls. But and just like speedrunning in general.
It's iconic.
I mean, speedrunning is amazing, but Donkey Kong 64 is a terrible game.
It's not. Yeah,
yeah, I mean, like, I'm not a fan of the game, but it he uses the game to articulate a good point in that video.
Does he like the game?
I think so.
No.
Or maybe he's doing it to put himself... I think he's doing it to put himself through the horror that is collecting all the bananas. I think
it's
that's
what it is. Charity Nightmare for Mermaids.
Yeah, so okay. I think...
The word nightmare is, like, inherent to the name, so I'm happy to see that.
Yeah, I think it's a bad thing. I think you're right, Alex.
Wonderful. That's, anyway. Oh. Is the timer almost up?
I'm hiding it, so I can't see.
I can't confirm.
Original.
But, okay, anyway, let's move on. So, Eric, relax. You wanted to talk about the Switch and all things Switch, which is why I invited Kyle, and Smash as well.
Right, my background is I am a commentator and a researcher in the Smash scene. I've been involved in Melee and Ultimate, Melee for the past 5 or 6 years, so... I do tournament organizing, like I said, commentary, and my PhD is essentially in Smash. So very happy to like get some people who care about this, and we can like talk about it. Yeah.
Awesome. Really excited.
Beautiful.
Alex is holding up his physical copy.
Yeah. I just bought it 2 days ago.
Oh, you just got it? Oh, shit.
I just got it, yeah.
Dude, I have so little characters, I'm so ashamed of myself. I have so few characters.
You started. My Switch is in Paris.
Oh no! God.
I mean, I can play in a week, but I.
What is that? Oh my god! Ah! It's time! It's time!
Okay.
Wow.
Delete that immediately. Get that off of the board. At least use the sad trombone in that context. Don't ever use that again.
What? Of taking a shot? That was our timer. Right.
Too bad.
That was the timer. What happened to the blood moon one?
Yeah.
Where's the blood moon one?
That was the Blood Moon. That's the sound that plays in Breath of the Wild when
that
the
was
moon.
Not that for that's my it. In my headphones. That's not what played. That was not the Blood Moon sound.
That's what it was.
I've been on this podcast before and heard the Blood Moon sound, and for some reason the audio. Anyway, cheers to the cheers.
All right.
Yeah. All right.
Alex is shook. Okay.
Alex just took the shot. Okay, Eric, you count.
Three. Alex has got a maverick here. 3, 2, 1, tequila!
Woo! Shout out, Eric has a Museum of Science and Industry like little
shot
beaker
glass.
Shot glass.
Yeah, that's adorable.
He got it while he was here. Visiting me.
Can't wait to come back.
Yay! Okay, so we want to talk about this game. Eric threw in first thing to talk about the new Challenger AI difficulty.
Oh, yeah, I mean like... Well, even just to what you were just saying, Dan, like, you've played the game a decent amount. You don't have everybody unlocked. Right.
Yeah. And, like, they keep whooping my ass. Or at least in the beginning they were. Now I'm getting decent.
Right.
Well, because there was
yeah,
a patch.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, when the game launched, Kai, feel free to jump in at any point, but, like, when the game launched, it was kind of like a bit of a mini controversy. Everybody was like, wow, like, this is, like, way too hard to unlock everybody. Like, the AI is, like, consistently kicking my ass the first, second time around. Wow. Even though there is an option to, you know, challenge all the new characters again, I think it created a bit of a split between more of the competitive players and those who are more casual, play the game in a bit of, you know, like, sit down on the couch, like, party game format. Because really, like, the beauty of Smash, which we can get more into later, is that, like, it's very much, like, an experience for everybody. Yeah, for everybody. Like, everybody, you know, it's one of those games that has more name recognition than most other games. I didn't say that great, but I think you all know what I mean.
Yeah.
Just to give a little background on this problem.
Please.
This is something we'll go into according to our little outline here. But for this game, Nintendo actually hired competitive Smash Bros. Players from Japan to do the QA and to program the AI at those very high levels.
That's crazy.
So you're seeing like super high level tech that people would actually use in tournament when you're battling these like level 9 AIs. So, you know, it's like battling a person. They have faster reaction time. Maybe a person that can't read you or adjust to your strategy, but that can always do the perfect I want to say perfect pivot, but that's Smash 4. When the shield goes down, parry.
Parry
everything.
Perfect shield,
fast falling and like, so playing, if you just wanted to like unlock all 70 characters, playing against that level is kind of a high bar.
Yeah. Well, and I just know like some people are kind of upset about it because they're like, why is this so hard? Like, well, why does it feel like such a grind to unlock all these characters? Like, I feel like I'm being punished, like, and I'm having to like put like more time into it. Like, why... Like, should there not be alternate methods to unlock all the characters? Is I think what a decent amount of people were saying in the time before it was patched and the difficulty was reduced. And now I think it's generally okay. I haven't heard as much about it since, but that's just what I happened to put first on the outline. I wasn't really thinking about that, but so I guess that's what qualifies as controversy at the moment for the Smash game, because you know what? This has been, like, a huge success for Nintendo.
Oh my god.
I saw something, like, sorry to interrupt, I saw something, like, in the first 11 days, it sold 3 million copies?
Jesus.
Physical and digital, like, runaway success.
And the competitive Smash community is such a fan of this game. If you compare the reaction to the Smash 4, everyone had something to complain about with Smash 4. And this game, there are Melee players who haven't played Melee in a month because they've been busy grinding it. And it's not, they're not the same movements, but this game, it has the depth and the speed that was never present in Smash 4 that is really appealing. Plus, you've got like 72 characters to learn. So there is a lot of potential for this game to last in a competitive sense for a long time.
It's crazy. How many carry characters start unlocked in the beginning?
8, I think.
8. Yeah. 8 out of 70.
Yeah.
That's a ludicrous number.
5, I think, is the current.
The background.
It depends on whether or not you make the Miis.
Oh.
Mii Gunner,
I do.
Mii Swordfighter, and Mii Brawler are actually usable characters in a competitive sense.
Mii Swordfighter is kind of sick.
Yep.
just saying. What was I saying? I said so, yeah, and I had nothing to say.
That's the controversy.
Oh, yeah. That's it for the controversy. I think it's okay now. But what I wanted to ask you, Kyle, since you are absolutely an expert in this, is like, compared to previous Smash Brothers Wii U, what's the Smash Brothers from? Is that what we call that? Or?
We call it Smash 4, but I believe the official Nintendo name was Super Smash Brothers for the Nintendo DS or Super Smash Brothers for the Wii U.
Okay, Jesus Christ. Smash 4.
Yes.
So my understanding is that like Nintendo has always had like not contemptuous, but like indifferent attitude towards like this really awesome grassroots competitive community and organizing structure for Super Smash Brothers. Do you feel like in these early stages of this new game, everybody's feeling more supported by Big Daddy Nintendo? Like, and how might that support be manifested in the coming months and years? Would that look like a sponsored tournament, like with a cash prize, more organization? What's your sense of the landscape so far?
Good question.
Right. I think, so this game is Nintendo really giving, not, well, not giving into the competitive community, but finally accepting the competitive community. So they never intended Melee to be the game that it has become, this super high-level, competitive, taking advantage of glitches kind of game, right? And so they always have been reluctant to support, and notably absent. That has created some problems in the community. Maybe at a later episode we can talk about, I'm on a code of conduct committee that wrote up you know, just a standard of behavior for the Smash scene. Because guess what? For 17 years, Nintendo hasn't come in and, like, tried to tell people you're banned if you rape somebody. So now we have to do that ourselves. So there are definitely drawbacks to Nintendo not having been involved up to this point. But at the same time, like you said, this, like, grassroots community is super strong and super tight-knit and well-organized is debatable. What we could see in terms of how it manifests, how their support for the competitive community manifests. So they're already doing the right thing by working with existing tournament organizers. So rather than trying to run their own, like, Nintendo-sponsored tournaments, they're going to the people that have already run 2,000-man tournaments, and they're saying, like, here's X thousand dollars. or we'll lend you all of the setups. A couple of tournaments I went to, Nationals I went to over the summer, Nintendo was there with ultimate setups that you could, like, test out the characters before the game was released. So they are kind of edging their way in, but as a Japanese older company, it's going to take a while to see any kind of... I doubt in the next 3 years we're going to see, like, players that are directly sponsored by Nintendo, but we're still going to see that money coming in. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of the game Project M. So yeah. there was a mod to Super Smash Bros. Brawl that made it play like Melee.
But it was
fan created, and it was really popular. And my partner actually worked on it.
Oh, that's dope.
Yeah, but when Nintendo decided that they started to care about the competitive scene, they sent basically a cease and desist letter to the PM development team. So. And they refused to, like, sponsor tournaments that had PM in a bracket at all. So they are becoming more involved, and it seems kind of slow, which I think is good. If they, like, tried to come in and take over, there would be such backlash. But yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you feel like some early encouraging signs. Dipping your toes in the water.
I'm kind of curious. Do you think the competitive players feel like Nintendo... or see Nintendo as, like, the parents that kind of, like, were never involved when they were children and kind of coming in much later on in life and be like, you can't do that. And, like, fuck you, I'm going to do that anyway.
Like, right. Or, like, you're already a musician and they're like, I always believed in you. And they're like, no, you
did you believe in me? I don't believe you.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's interesting.
Alex, please stop projecting onto us for this
podcast. Yeah, it's too late, bitch.
I mean, the thing about top players is because Nintendo didn't exactly cultivate a certain image for this scene, there are so many different kinds of top players. You know, there's Mango, who the other day got banned on stream for being drunk. he fell over after the Eagles got a touchdown, and somebody reported his stream. But, like, he's the hero. He's, like, the number three player in the world. And then there's, like, the number one who's, like, untouchable and, like, perfect in every way. Like, they have such different personalities and opinions that... But I would say the general community would agree with that idea. That
who is number one? Is it Zero? Or
in Smash 4, it was Zero. I was specifically referring to Melee, where the number one player has been Armada. I guess technically this year he might have been usurped by Hungrybox, who is a different story as in terms of personality. But
they were just talking about Hungrybox and his name being great.
Because Smash definitely has, like, a lot of lore, having been a grassroots scene, or, like, and stories around the top players especially. So, like, you've got the five top players that are gods, and they're literally called the gods. Like, what the heck? We don't worship them, I hope.
That's fucking awesome.
Yeah, but, like, each of them has a story and a fan base.
Well, that's so great, because, like, Smash is one of those kinds of games where you develop your own stories amongst your own groups of friends, you know? Like, lore develops in your own... personal, you know, great groups. Yeah,
I remember. Yo, can I tell you my own lore in my history? Because actually, it's a wonderful story, and it kind of
is it that Fox is bullshit? Okay.
Yeah, there he is. That's my boy. Are we friends? Or are we
by
friends?
Design? By design,
we're
Fox
adversaries and friends.
So when I was,
continue.
When I first got to college, I was
I encountered a blood moon in college.
When I first got to college, Ultimate Doom came, and all of my tests were harder.
I mean, that's kind of that's the. All
right, number three.
Who's count? Okay,
Alex, have you counted?
No, I have not. Ready?
No, just does his own thing.
What? Shut up. Just give me a second. One, two, three, tequila.
Woo.
Timer. We could totally episode. Talk about the thing that you were on if you want to. I don't know if you're comfortable talking about it.
With your lore?
No, with Hold you on. Being on that committee. Or whatever.
Maybe when I'm drunker.
Can I tell the story real quick?
Please.
You're not allowed.
Give me a second. So when I first got to college, I was thrown into a single. And I had a ton of friends that were in you know, like regular doubles. But at the time, I had zero friends. So eventually I got to know. But basically the only way I made friends freshman year was to walk around the halls with going into the common rooms where everyone was playing video games or watching TV.
Yes.
And when I saw people playing Smash Melee, that's when I was like, hey, do you mind if I get in around? And literally every single friend I made for the first 3 months was through Smash. And I became like hated, but also friends for playing Fox. And there was this, there was this one plasma screen television in the basement of one of the big like dorms, and I remember playing there like almost every single night for a few months. And eventually, we had this ongoing joke that like you know, it wasn't even a joke, but like we at one point when we turned off the TV, like the winner is Fox was like burned into the screen, and everyone was like, "Go fuck yourself, Alex." And that is my little story.
Yeah.
How do you feel about being the heel, shit bird? No, Fox is good, and you're good at playing Smash, so
we're friendship. We are friendship.
I gotta say, my college dorm was kind of the same, where you could come home at any hour, and there'd be somebody in the lounge playing Smash.
On Smash,
yeah.
It's a beautiful thing.
It really is a communal game, like it, and like we've been talking about a little bit here, like a grassroots community grows through like being able to connect to the people in the ways that we were talking about a little bit, like with Alex's stories and what you just said here. So I don't know. There's just something special about the game that it's hard to put a finger on. And what's so great about this newest one is it feels it's only improved and taken.
Yes.
Pretty sure it's taken nothing away.
I'm impressed.
Almost nothing away, which I could get into later. But
I'm impressed.
Yeah, it's
amazing.
Great.
It is amazing.
My review.
It's great. A+.
Yes.
Do you remember? Have you seen Video Game Donkey's review of the top 10 games of 2018?
No, but I imagine Smash is on there.
Smash was on there. Wait, you don't know who Video Game Donkey is?
No.
Oh, no. I got to leave this podcast. Bye.
Oh, no, can I come back?
Video Game Donkey is one of like the funniest. He does a lot of reviews, but he also just does funny like videos about video games. And he's like, he's super honest, he's super earnest and sincere about everything he does, but he's no bullshit. And what I love about him is that like he's got a consistent fan base that's like really brought the best of his content to like the front of what he does. So every single new video is just like slightly more honed in into like the best version of him. Anyway. So his newest video on the top 10 games of 2018 has Smash on it. I think it's number 6. But his entire review of the game, he like goes into pretty in depth about like every single game. Most of them are indie games. But one of them was number 6 is Smash, and he's like, "It's Smash. What do you want me to say?" And he just goes on.
but it's like the best Smash game.
It is.
Melee heart has been changed. By this
it
game.
Is.
They did such
it is
a good
spectacular.
Job.
It really is spectacular. It's a beautiful, beautiful game to just watch being played, to actually play. It's fluid, it's easy, it's lovely. Everything feels, like, natural. And for the first time since Melee, I've been really, really excited to, like, actually get back into the scene, get back into the game itself. And even this, I've seen people play the single player, like, the World of Light, and it looks, like, rich and insane and long and, huge investment and fun in and of itself, which for a single player content from a Smash game is incredible.
Honestly, it's mostly what I've played. I actually have not played as much online because lag is terrible.
Yeah.
That's a drawback at the moment.
Yeah.
I love
Nintendo thing in general.
Okay. Yeah.
I got to say two things. One is going back a bit, but I think the fact that up till now, to play Smash with somebody, you had to sit next to them and plug in your controller into a console. And a lot of people cite that as a reason why Smash is like such a tight-knit community.
Right.
In some ways, that's damaging. So, like, as a woman, I can't disguise my voice, for example. Like, when I go to tournaments, I have to... people know that I'm a girl. But in other ways, it creates such a tight-knit community. I'm sorry. That's like going back in time. You were just talking about online play, right?
Yeah.
Oh, and the World of Light. The World of Light. Barely touched.
Okay, if you are a gamer...
I love it.
If you're a gamer, so you're going to love World of Light. Because they, like, take all of... like. Did you ever play the Sonic series?
No.
No. Okay, there's a character, Big the Cat, in Sonic, right? And he's like this totally derpy character. And one of the characters in Smash has an alternate skin that matches Big the Cat. And so when you're fighting for the Big the Cat spirit, which is the spirits are like side characters you can use to power up your person, you fight that skin of Incineroar. If you play any of these games, you're going to get all these jokes about these World of Light spirit fights.
Which is kind of like... Big the Cat had the worst stages, in my opinion. Like, his were, like, the Explorer stages, right?
That's not what
I hate that shit. I'm sorry.
That's like, what this conversation was meant to be about. Big the Cat.
Okay,
this guy.
I'm not trying to sidetrack us into the different types of but stages in the Sonic Adventure series, but, like,
did.
Yo.
What? So are you telling me?
I hate Rogue.
You hate Rogue
Knuckles?
No,
I love the characters.
Knuckles. What, you don't like Knuckles?
I love the characters. I hated the stages.
Oh, those were so fun, though.
Finding the emeralds in... Okay. You know what? Great music. Cool stages.
Great music.
Miserable experiences.
Pumpkin Hill, personally.
Had some of the best music in video games.
History.
Period.
Are we talking about Sonic Adventure?
Adventure 2 battle.
Okay, Sonic Adventure 2. I did play. That's the only one I played.
Big the Cat.
Do you want to say something else?
You sound like Trump when you said it, like, has the best music I've ever heard.
Oh, no!
I thought we could get through a single episode of Tequila without bringing up...
He who shall not be named.
45.
This is the 50th episode. We have to bring him
up. Usually it's Dan who just arbitrarily brings him up. So, okay, yeah. Episode 50, Tequila. There he is. But yeah, Kyle, I love World of Light. I am actually on my New Game Plus second playthrough of it.
Nice.
It's a ton of fun. I was skeptical at first of the whole spirit system, which I'm not going to explain on this podcast. It's a little...
It's just like power-ups.
It's a little in the weeds.
It's hard.
It's like event battles from previous games, but some strategy to them that they've added, and it all works together really nicely.
Wait,
and
bro, isn't there like 400 fights in World of Light?
Yeah.
And you're on round two?
Listen.
Eric's a completionist. Eric's a completionist.
Oh my God.
I kind of am, yeah. I will say, though, not in favor of World of Light. It did feel like at times they arbitrarily extended the length of the single player campaign. Like you think you're, without spoiling World of Light on Super Smash Bros., you think you're done a few times and you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Like,
that's cool.
All right, there's some more. I see.
Okay.
So, overall, it's like a really great experience. And everybody, like, I think really loved event battles for the most part in previous games. And so, like I just said, what they do is they take those, they spread it out, like, over a whole single-player campaign. None of this brawl, subspace, emissary, side-scrolling horseshit that some people out there liked, but they're wrong.
I mean, I have feelings, but go on.
I discount them, and I don't hear them.
I discount them.
So, it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. It's got a huge, beautiful overworld map. Sometimes, like, it's a little frustrating, the pathfinding in it. Like, This is like getting a little technical in the weeds, but like if you go down a path, like you have to go down that path, if you know what I'm saying. It's like that kind of overworld. If you go down, like you can't like stop in the middle of like a long fucking slide or whatever. You have to go all the way down and then like all the way back up.
Dude, Eric's like, got
you'll
feelings.
See. You'll
Eric's...
see. I've got a lot to say. I got a lot to
yeah,
say.
Yeah, you're feeling some kind
I'm almost
of
way done.
Right now.
I'm almost done. In fact,
keep going.
In fact, I'm done right now.
But Alex, it's going to be a treat of a game.
I'll get off the mic. It's
and
a real treat.
FYI, you can play World of Light first to unlock characters, or you can unlock Ooh. Characters through more traditional means. That is like playing the, you know, just playing X number of matches.
But you can do the either of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or
that's,
both. It,
I guess that is the way it's always been. I just haven't played a game in a while.
We changed our lighting here at the dance studio to be just pure red light.
It's
so.
Ominous.
Indeed.
Whose turn is it to count?
I guess me.
Yeah, him.
Estamos listos?
After this shot, I also briefly want to talk about the spirit board.
And I would love to talk about God of War.
Okay.
There you go. Yeah.
Who's counting? Who's counting?
Me. Okay, we ready? Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, 3, 2, 1. I was going to say kanpai, but then I had alcohol in my mouth.
Glad you didn't choose that path.
It was a world
saying
of light
it with
path,
alcohol
to change.
So, in the single player portion, in addition to the world of
God,
light, there's
Eric.
Also this thing
Eric.
Called the spirit board, which is also excellent, and I highly suggest you check it out. I'm done, Alex. Check it out. I'm done. I love the game.
I missed you so much.
Alex, I'm going to ask you this.
Yeah.
Do you want to hear about my research study, how I'm training Smash Ultimate, or do you want to move on to Ultimate?
No,
or, I
100% want to hear.
No, please say something besides me talking. Because
yeah. Okay. No, I do.
This
want to
sounds
hear
fascinating. I would love to listen.
Yes, me too.
So I've got 3 studies running right now about Smash. One of them, I trained new players and see how different factors affect their ability to learn the game. One of them, I work with current top 100 players, interviewing them, seeing how they got to be this good, what they believe made them good, measuring their cognitive constructs, that sort of thing. But the one I want to talk about is one that I've been doing by myself since Christmas, or since the game came out. So I have been keeping this long-winded journal, and I've been doing these training regimens to learn about how people learn Smash. So despite being a commentator and everything, I actually suck at Smash. I don't have any high skill in it. And so this is like a journey for me. So I have 3 characters. I'm using Lucina to play just Spirit Board. So, you know, in that condition, I'm playing the game, I'm learning the game engine, but I'm not learning things like how much knockback each character has. And there's like a lot of like multiplayer fights and stuff, so it's not like a competitive environment, right?
Right.
I have Pikachu, who I'm playing only in competitive situations. So I turn this condition playing to learn. So I just play the game a whole bunch with Pikachu. And then the 3rd condition, with Zero Suit Samus, I'm splitting my time equally between training mode and doing like that hardcore grinding, like learning those frame by frame skills along with the combat. So the psych literature would say that deliberate practice model with Zero Suit Samus should be the most beneficial. But basically I'm like training each of these 3 characters, and I'm going to see, I'm going to the next national, which is Genesis. Excuse me. There's the burp. First weekend of February, and I'm just gonna like make a bunch of people play my 3 characters with their main and see how I perform against them based on those training conditions. So I'm super excited because like it's super in depth. I'm also recording like my social experiences. So when I go to tournaments, do I hear people say, "Oh, bro, you're such a homo"? Do I hear people say, "Oh, stop being a pussy"? Or do I like sit down with a guy and he's like totally normal and doesn't sandbag me or try to flirt with me? Right. Like I'm looking at these social experiences of Smash as well and how they affect my motivation over time. So like Ultimate for me is such a great game because like, not only am I like, I'm pouring my heart and soul into it because of this study, more or less, and it's totally worth it. So like, I don't know. I just thought it would be cool to share because like,
So fucking cool. Go on.
There's so many ways you can learn this game. You know, like a lot of us just like play and play and play for hours and hours, but then like the pros claim that they spend a lot more time in practice. So like figuring out what actually works in the short term. I hope it's cool.
That's so fun. So you have 3 different models for training yourself to get better at a character, but you're choosing three different models of learning and three different characters. So the variables are changing in two different ways every time, mm-hmm. right? So you, instead right. of choosing one character and choosing three different models of learning, you're changing the – so it, how do you make sure that the scientifically it's going to match up and like feel like it's actually a more efficient way to train in this way mm-hmm. over this way because the characters are different? Like how do right. you know –
Right. So, yeah, a couple of people I played against in the Smash scene have pointed out that Zerozutamus is a mid tier, whereas Pikachu and Lucina are considered high tiers. Uh-huh. But that kind of works in my favor if it turns out that I do better with Zerozutamus, because that shows just how much the deliberate practice helped above and yeah. beyond tier.
Can you explain what tiers are to those who may not know?
Yeah. So, in these Smash games, different characters have different moves, right? Like, everybody has, like, a quick jab move. People have smash attacks. And essentially, what a tier is like, given a character's moveset, how do they perform against the rest of the cast on average? Like, are they much faster? Are they much stronger? Are there enough characters? Like, in the game, there's a lot of people who wield swords. They call them sword characters. Yeah. And, like, can the character stand up against swords versus projectile characters or whatever.
Is it not like really subjective though?
It is. Right now, well, in Melee, it has been time tested. So Melee has an extremely solidified pool or tier list, right? Smash Ultimate right now is basically a matter of opinion.
Okay. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So I'm hoping that by the time I write this study up, I will have an idea of what matchups are I can control for that, hopefully.
Right. Yeah. I think tier lists in general is important to note that because every single game you play competitively has a tier list, and I think that is entirely contingent on the meta, the game meta game at the time, and
not entirely but largely, yes. Largely, Fox will always be good.
Yeah, in Melee, of course.
Yeah.
But I'm so glad they
bullshit.
I'm so glad they unnerfed Fox.
Yeah.
Yeah, Fox is terrible. I remember playing Fox when I was playing. I played one like 2 hour session with my friend Nick. Actually, Eric, you know Nick, at his house the other day, and I played some Fox, and like this feels nothing like the old Fox. I mean, it felt kind of like in terms of like the speed a little bit, but I didn't feel in any way like the same kind of confidence when I was playing him, and it was just very. There was like a few characters that I really loved. I'm trying to think. I think there was a few sword characters, but I tried as many as I could because it was like my first foray into it, and it was amazing, and I loved the game. But like Fox didn't feel even remotely as comfortable as it did when I was playing Melee, and I loved that. I was like, okay, let's find something new. Let's do.
I also love that as well.
It's just that's my home.
our sour Fox hater over here.
Yeah. Yeah. Wait. Hey, listen, I'm happy to take that corner. No problem.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I think this will be a better balanced game, and unlike Melee, some people might say that Ultimate is risky because they can patch it, but I also think that they can really fix broken shit because they can patch it.
I mean, I think it's overall just better. Like, I mean, when you can patch something when there are DLCs available, like, you just have more investment from the company that's designing it. Like, they have more investment in the quality of the game and the evolution of the game. Like, I think it's just overall better when the company can be continually evolved. Look at fucking Grand Theft Auto 5. That game is still... New content is coming out every, like, month or so.
Oh my god, I didn't know that.
Seriously. That's like six years down the line. Or
like,
five
just
years
DLC
down the line.
Or patches?
DLC,
or
patches, free content, money, and, like giveaways, and random shit. This game is the most high... Like, the highly... I think the highest grossing... piece of media, not just movie, not just video game, piece of media.
Wow.
Did you not talk about that on the podcast when you were with them on Respawn AFI?
Maybe I did, but
I feel like
this podcast does not know it.
This podcast has not heard that yet.
I'm listening.
It's honestly amazing. And I think it's always a generally better thing when a company is involved in their own game long term. Like, that's what I do.
Totally. Sure. Totally. Yeah.
For sure. I don't know. This game's great. I hope everybody tries it who likes video games.
Yeah. So. Wait, this is the. Cal didn't say this, but I also. This is my second purchase of this game.
Nice. A GameCube adapter.
I'll have you know, she was like, how'd you get those GameCube controllers so cheap? They're all good.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Well, at least they're good to me. I'm not like a fucking pro. They work fine.
Are they going to last, though? Do you remember those, like, what were
she was saying there's, like, some fake ones that were going out.
I mean, there's a lot of fake ones, even when the GameCube was around. Like, the ones with the turbo button that was, like, I had a few of those, like, Thundercats. Well, not Thundercats. What is it? Mad Cats?
Oh, that's it.
Oh, Mad Cat. Yeah.
Dude, remember Mad Cats?
What about SWAT Cats?
Dude, terrible controllers. I have one, and I destroyed it.
They just feel bad.
They feel Swat bad. Cats. It's the proportions. Like, the proportions of the controller just are wrong, are incorrect. So I resent them. I have deep resentment in my soul.
Personally, I switched to the Pro controller because it's a little more ergonomic.
It is. It's the Pro great controller. So good.
Yeah.
It's, but it's like, what, $80? It's expensive.
I don't remember.
You're like, price is no object.
You have priorities in life.
It's $80 new. Yeah, it's $80 new, which is not cheap. You can also get the wired third-party ones that are the same shape for $20. Pro tip, those of you out there who don't want the wireless Nintendo first-party ones, but the first-party ones feel really fucking good. They're great.
When you say first-party, you mean Nintendo created.
Nintendo party.
Yeah.
You don't want to say first-party if you're just going to say Nintendo.
I can say whatever the fuck I want.
Yeah, yeah, live your life, live your life, live your life.
That's right. Episode 50!
That's right. 50, motherfucker. Okay, so before you bring up God of War, I would like, because we're talking about GameCube accessories, I would like to just talk about the... So, Eric, you brought it up earlier. The fucking Nintendo Online. And the lack of virtual console. And how upset I am. And how much I want to flip this table right now. Eric, you might be the most seething. Go.
You know what? It's the kind of seething where I feel defeated. It's just like... It's like, again, like we're in another new console generation and they still can't give what the consumer expects to be the bare minimum of a video game online service to have. You can't message people you're friends with.
Oh my god, that's so ridiculous.
You can't invite them into...
I gotta use a phone to fucking...
no party chats. Yeah, no, I... For some...
Fuck! Here's what I'm gonna say. I'm just gonna interrupt Eric for 2 seconds. That audio, while like there's a lot of like nostalgia... Not nostalgia at this point, because it's only like a year old, but... The sound is lovely in my mind, but when it's thrown into your ears as like...
Random?
It's not, there's no harmony, there's no loveliness, it doesn't make me excited about drinking. You gotta choose a different sound, please. Well, for me.
The whole point is to instill despair into everyone as they drink. I get it, and it's working.
I actually almost kind of miss just like your regular like iPhone alarm, like...
I mean, that also is like a very... Like one dimensional form of despair. It's like,
But I
because we're all gonna be like, oh no.
Yeah.
Look, Daniel, I've got nostalgia about that sound already. I miss that sound.
Fair enough. I'll alternate. I'll maybe come up with a new. The Blood Moon is for now.
All right, I'm counting down. So
yes.
Pour your drinks. Get your chasers ready. 3, 2, 1. Take a shot.
And time.
What's your favorite Gatorade flavor?
Yeah. The red one, whatever the fuck it's
blue.
Called.
Fruit punch? No, it's color. It's color blue.
Blue, I like blue. It's like
I am blue drinking shirt. Blue right
She's
now.
Drinking blue.
Blue is the way to go, yeah.
Y'all don't like the fruit punch one, though?
I know, I think I like... Okay, my favorite red's is cherry good. Frost.
Wow.
Wait, cherry?
Yeah, yellow's
Arctic
not
cherry
bad.
Or whatever.
Is that
I mean, they're
also
all pretty
the
good. Yellow like gets white. Yellow when I keep drinking it. Like the first sip of yellow is amazing, and then like 4 seconds.
It gets gross.
On,
it's
it
disgusting.
Does get gross. I like red, but I think blue consistently. Blue and red are probably closely tied, depending
top
on how
tier.
I'm feeling.
I'm gonna
tier one, and then like tier two is yellow.
This might be like... sacrilegious, but I go for the fucking vitamin water before Gatorade any day.
Vitamin water has more complex flavors.
Yeah, like the
vitamin water is good.
What's
your favorite vitamin water?
Revive is my
triple
favorite
X.
Vitamin water.
Yes,
wow.
Revive. Yes,
fruit punch. It's like the dark cherry, right? Like a black.
Yeah,
cherry.
Yeah, triple X is like pomegranate cherry.
Wait, what's
good.
The one that has?
I like triple X.
What's the pink one?
I think that's good.
That's refresh. Honestly,
it has like something about Kelly Clarkson on the label.
So useless.
Focus.
Focus.
Sorry,
my bad.
This is my entire. We took a shot, and then I brought this topic up.
I'm sorry, but we're going to talk about it now,
dude. This is tequila, baby.
What's the name of the guava one? I like the guava.
There's a guava one.
Yeah, it does.
Get the fuck
look
out.
God.
Yo, Daniel is personally offended by this.
No, I'm personally offended by my lack of knowledge of it.
I can tell.
I want it. Do you know how Cuban I am? Do you know how
much is that? 99% genetically 72.
All right. Spoiler alert, listeners. Very cute.
He's like 1% human. Like,
oh man. The name of the guava vitamin water is called B-Relaxed. I love it.
Oh, that's amazing. That hurts me. I'm in pain.
Do y'all remember when they were super trendy? Like, now they're just kind of a staple, like, we all take for granted. But
they
like,
were super trendy.
They were super trendy for, like, 2 years.
Like, how, like, coconut water was 2 years ago? Or a mart or something, like, you're like,
a bodega or a mart. Look at you, little New Yorker over there.
Are you in New York? Okay, that makes sense.
No. A mart. A 7-Eleven.
A konbini.
A Wawa. I don't know what you fucking...
Other people.
Yeah.
A convenience store, yes, a convenience, exactly.
Oh, wait, hold up. It's jackfruit and guava. Jackfruit is disgusting.
Can we just not talk about this?
Jackfruit's not disgusting.
Jackfruit's gross.
No, it's not.
Jackfruit's gross.
Talk about God of War. Because...
Okay. Wait, no, before God of War. This was, sorry. Yep.
More things before God of War.
No, so before God of War, we were talking about the lack of virtual console and how upset we are.
I feel like this should come later.
No, here's the thing. Do you all have the doc open? I would like us to all experience this at the same time.
It's the shortest doc. It's literally half a page.
Okay, so now go to the GameCube link thing here. Click it. Let's all look at this together. Okay.
Kotaku, this GameCube is now a Switch doc with working controller ports by Ethan Gatch.
Kotaku.
I can't tell if this is awesome or if this is really dumb. I really want it, kind of. Like, I'm not sure.
So it looks like somebody, like, took a slice out of the GameCube and made it a Switch dock and included the GameCube controller adapter where the GameCube originally had docks for the controllers.
They just put the Switch hardware into the fucking GameCube.
With, like, the adapter that you bought, Alex, that I also have, and they, like, wired it into the GameCube. It's basically a GameCube hole that they put the dock into. And the LED on the top works. I would like to point that out. The GameCube LED works at the top.
That's nostalgic as fuck.
That's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, that's charming. That's what it is, charming.
It's all right.
Anyway, okay, this brings up, for some reason the other day, Sadie and I, my partner, those of you who don't know, you haven't been listening long if you don't know that, but anyway.
Does everybody call each other's, like, significant?
Yeah, it's like the gender-neutral term.
Partner is what I use too, actually.
I'm bi, and so I want people to know that, so I use partner to, like, denote that it doesn't matter what their gender is.
Sounds great. I'm learning a lot. Clearly, I'm a toxic man from a
You are not. You are
so,
not. You weren't.
I'm trying to learn.
The goal of the ad is to make Eric feel bad about his masculinity.
I am broken.
Success.
Tequila 50.
Dad on him.
Learning a lot. Please continue.
Okay, so point being, we were watching a bunch of like reviews of GameCube games that I fucking love, and that always, like, I think of them at least several times a year, and I would love to play them again. I will list the three of them right now. Twilight Princess, I'm sorry, before Breath of the Wild was my favorite Legend of Zelda.
It's a great game.
Yeah, people shit on Twilight Princess all the time. Anyway,
I loved it. No, I loved it too. It was great. I liked it a lot.
Metroid Prime 2. Fucking love
fantastic.
Metroid.
But wasn't there
Prime
a ton of, like, backtracking? That always bothered me.
Yeah, in Metroid in general, there's a lot of backtracking, which is a pain in the dick.
Yeah.
And it's more of a problem in, I think, 3 and 1 than 2.
Should get that checked out.
It's good to know.
Anyway, that game.
What's the third one?
Super Mario Sunshine.
No, my favorite game of all time.
That's my favorite Mario game by
far. Oh, me too. Me too.
Wait, above Paper Mario?
Hell fucking yeah.
Above Super Mario World on the SNES, that was used to be my favorite for a long time.
Hell yeah. Above
and
all
of them.
Let
me tell you, I have an anecdote that I will tell in literally like 1 minute or less. Basically, when I was.
Make it 5 minutes.
I would make it now. I actually probably couldn't if I tried. Basically, when I was 13, I was born and raised Jewish and in a conservative Jewish household and temple. And for my bar mitzvah, I, instead of having a party at, like, you know, a nice event space with, like, a lot of dancing and whatever, we had it at my house, and there was, like, a caterer, but, maybe 10 of my parents' friends were there, and 3 of my friends were there, and I just went to my den, I turned on the TV, I played Super Mario Sunshine after I finished my, like, actual performance, and played that for, like, 8 hours straight. And that was my bar mitzvah.
That's the best celebration of adulthood I can think of.
I wish I'd known you back then.
I think about it to this day because it was one of the greatest days of my life because it was like 6 months of hard fucking work and studying and like preparing for this day.
Yeah.
Completed. I go home. I relax. I play. And it became, as you might imagine, one of my favorite games in my memory because it represented the completion of this huge task. And it was this like sunshine. It was free. It was before I moved to Los Angeles. So it was like sunshine everywhere. It was beautiful. I was in it. It was in New York before. So it was just a wonderful game. And I loved it. And I miss it. And I still watch speedruns of the game. I watch competitive speedruns of the game where like
they race
each other. It's just fun. It's just a fun game. And it's still great.
The one level that's like burned into my memory, and tell me if you remember this or not, is one where like you... It's like a mansion or something, or like a chateau, and there's a bunch of like shadow spray paint.
Cyrena Beach, the eel,
manta ray kind of
thing. The Cyrena Beach, the first level of Cyrena Beach
of that
is
level.
The manta ray. To get into it, you have to beat the manta ray. Yeah,
burned into my memory. I loved that whole thing.
See, to me, that sounds like Luigi's Mansion.
Luigi's Mansion was also amazing.
Amazing game. And also,
that needs a sequel right there.
I think that the impressive part of Luigi's Mansion was that the fact it came out, it was like a launch game, right? A launch title. It was like...
And it was so good.
It was amazing.
It was incredible.
Wait, it launched with the GameCube?
Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure. It was one of the first games, if not the first game that came out for the GameCube. And I remember being like, wow, this is a spectacular game.
I loved it so much.
That's my favorite Mario game.
Wow, interesting choice.
Well, I'm not a big platformer, so like Luigi's Mansion was great. Yeah.
Luigi's Mansion is genuinely a very fucking good game.
Mm-hmm. It is, I wouldn't consider it a platformer. Oh, you're saying the reason you don't like Mario games?
Yes,
because it's
not a platformer.
Yeah.
Personally, I think Galaxy in my opinion,
dude, the Galaxy series lost me.
Yeah,
you liked Galaxy over Odyssey?
Well, I haven't played all of Odyssey yet, so
I'm sad to hear that.
Okay.
Smash yet. Don't go there.
I love pity. Thank you.
Wait, okay. I bring all these games up. Okay, you see how much fervor we're talking about these GameCube games with?
Yeah,
I want to play these fucking games. My only alternative, my only legal alternative is to buy a Wii and then buy these fucking games. And I can't play on the Switch, which is a huge pain in my dick.
Hey, dude.
I have
a Wii that maybe I could sell you.
Okay, bring it.
To the listeners right now, Daniel is now gesturing, gesticulating beautifully with these like fingers.
I have a Wii I can sell you too. Because up until like last month, my parents were watching their Netflix on the Wii.
Really?
Oh my god.
Which was
awesome.
Then I bought them an actual smart TV. So they're like, "Oh, we can throw the Wii out now." I'm like, "No, you cannot.
No, give it to me."
He's like, "Oh, this is garbage now, right?" I'm like, "No, you doddering fool.
You're garbage now."
I love you.
Is the best way to play Melee, by the way, because you can't buy a Melee disc for any reasonable price.
Oh no.
Yeah.
How much are
Melee? Oh yeah, right. It was backwards compatible. I totally forgot.
How much did that cost?
Yeah. What
Melee now?
A Wii is like 60 or 70 bucks.
No, how much do Melee discs cost?
Oh, like 120 bucks.
Oh my god.
Oh.
I'll give you a live estimate. Let's do it.
Oh, let's go on eBay.
Miss Molly.
That's crazy.
How did 10 minutes pass already? Oh no. It's because I brought
He didn't even talk about God of War. He didn't even talk about it.
Okay, that was only 50.
Oh wait, are we done? We can't do it anymore?
No. We just have to take another shot.
Until we collapse.
Okay.
Till I collapse, these floors of raps in and I'm a
it's
great rapper.
It's episode 50. This is a special episode.
Somebody
this is an
count
hour
down.
And a half long. This is an hour
we
and
gotta
half.
Keep going.
We have
gotta keep
shots.
Going.
We have three more shots to go. All right.
I
it's 11:23 on the East Coast. Let's keep going.
Eric,
it's my turn to
count.
Okay.
Oh, dude.
Just a little context. A little context for everybody. Okay. 3, 2, 1, tequila.
Don't worry, I'm not buying Melee if I get a Wii.
Eric,
I already have Ultimate.
I can help you download it illegally.
I mean, I wouldn't
be illegally.
It's not legal at all.
No, I'm just kidding. You said it very
What,
very
Alex?
Awful.
What?
No, I was. I like how you assume I'm going to insult you.
No, I am listening
what,
to my good
what?
Friend say something, so I am listening with rapt attention.
I want you all
attention.
To know, the only reason I'm with my current partner of 5 years is because of the GameCube. When I was 13, I wrote Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles fanfiction. And my fanfiction was the top-rated serious drama fanfiction on fanfiction.net. And wait, I became friends with some people who wrote the top-rated comedy fan fiction on fanfiction.net.
Oh, my God.
And we messaged for, like, 10 years. Then I moved to Chicago. They live in Chicago. I joined their D&D group. Guess who was in their D&D group? The guy I'm dating right now.
Wait, this is getting better.
Kyle, you are very cool.
Listen, the only reason he knew them was because one of them played Brawl competitively, and he played Brawl competitively. It's the ultimate nerd romance story.
And I hope what I just said did not come across as sarcastic.
You're fine.
I haven't even heard the complete sentence Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles in like 8 years. So it was such a treat to hear that again. So thank you.
That is coming out for Switch, and I'm very excited to relive that nostalgia.
That's awesome.
But I agree that we need way more of the console games. I would love to replay all the Harvest Moons.
Oh shit!
There's only one game that I've been really, really, really wanting to play, and I don't have a fucking. I think Wii it was on the game. Wii U.
Which game?
It can't be the Wii U. It was
Zombie U.
No, what it was. It? sorry. It was.
No, that was a good game.
Zelda Wind Waker HD.
Oh my god!
It is Wii U. Yeah.
I don't have
Wind
Waker's a Wii U.
Amazing.
I thought you had something to say to me.
It was really good.
I did. How do you have so many limes? You've been.
You know I cut up like 60 limes.
Yeah. Every time you have a new lime, like, wow, you're ready to rock, dude. Yeah, you have so many.
Limes. He lives in a civilization, and he went down to the bodega and got some limes.
Yeah, yeah.
That's just a lot of preparation.
Listen, though. It's $8 for $2.
When
limes,
you hear limon, do you think lime or lemon?
Okay, we could go into how limon is really confusing in Spanish because you can't say lima for lime, and so like you would say. When I say limón, I think lime. But
me too.
You can say
me too.
But that's what it is. But then in Spanish, if you want to say like lemon, you have to say limón amarillo.
Yeah,
which is really fucking annoying.
What?
Yeah. That is really annoying.
That's extremely annoying.
You think Spanish is weird? English is the weirdest fucking language.
There's
no logic behind any of the decisions they made when they're designing language. All right, so let's
the pronunciation's really bad.
All right, so let's just look at one word. The word
language
overlook.
Kila, go.
Let's think about the word overlook and how it means two things that are exactly the opposite of each other. Like, okay, oh no, not overlook, oversight. So this
was a
dramatic oversight. Okay, they ignored something, or the management team had personal oversight over the team. Like, are you kidding me? Like, those are exactly the opposite things.
Opposite.
Why, who designs that language? We're the same.
Read and red?
That's
even the same.
What does this have to do with God of War, Alex?
That's all my value right now is just totally dependent on my God of War opinion and how.
I'm waiting for you to justify yourself.
There's a guy I worked with at U Chicago who like was on the God of War UX development team. So I really would love to hear more about that.
That's awesome. Alex, this guy, you were on Respawn Aimfire. Chad of Respawn Aimfire, after I got a PS4, for Christmas, this motherfucker bought me a new copy of God of War that I have yet to touch because I'm in the middle of Spider-Man, but I was like, now I'm in
bed. But you have a PS4.
I have a PS4 now.
He bought you a PS4 or he bought you God of War?
No, he bought me God of War. I bought the PS4 on like the Black Friday deal with the Spider-Man bundle.
I bought a God of War for $17 from Walmart on Black Friday.
Woo!
That's the reason I bought it.
Maybe his gift wasn't as expensive as I thought it was.
But it's still... I mean, the game was absolutely phenomenal.
I haven't played it yet. I haven't touched it. Go on.
Okay, I would love to go on. So, the game chronicles the same main character, Kratos, who's been in the series since the beginning, obviously, but he's in a new... context. So he's in the.
You might call him the titular God of War.
He is the titular titular God of War, but he's existing within the Norse lore at this point. And his.
Oh, wait, I thought originally it was Greek or Roman.
It's Greek or Roman, and then
Greek. It's Greek.
But all of the gods now are Norse gods, and so like But the interesting thing is that like all the gods in the God of War universe interact and know about each other and like are aware. Like regardless of where you're from, they're all like within the same sphere, which is fascinating in and of itself and is worthy of another discussion. But the game, I think I did play briefly a handful of the other older games, but I think this game, what it does well is that it It creates a profound and all-encompassing narrative experience, because a lot of it has to do with like your relationship with your child that evolves over time. That I think cool. that is not encapsulated or not encapsulated in any of the other games in the same way. Yeah. So there's like in the older ones, they it's like a lot of hack and slash and a lot of like, you know, Dynasty Warriors style.
That's all I got from the game was hack and slash and just gore.
Which is fine. And a lot of people like that. And like, you know, it's a lot of reflex. And this game is a lot of reflex. The game is still like technically difficult to play and requires a lot of like skill. But it's sure. it is all based and kind of founded and rooted in this beautiful universe that you're invested in. And it's the first God of War I've actually purchased and then played in its entirety. And when I beat it, I was like, oh shit, I don't want this game to end. I was sad. I was like actively like, oh no, this is the end. Oh no. I was like trying to go away. I was like, no, let me do some side characters, side missions, side whatever. Like I was actively trying to do new things before the game was over because it was so compelling. It was such a beautiful, like it's a gorgeous game to witness, like it, like graphically. It's just the level design, the actual like the character design, the writing, everything is spectacular and it feels like you're engaged in a film. And,
it's lit. But like,
it is lit, dude. It's lit. And I miss it, and I miss the game, and it makes me nostalgic just to think about it because I can play the game again. I could get through the story, but like, what I want to do is just go through and like keep exploring and like, you get invested in the characters, you can get invested in like the story at large because the first scene of the game, the first like time you interact with the story is you are cutting down trees to create a funeral pyre for your wife. That just died.
Oof.
It is very sad. But you're doing it with your fucking child that's like 10 years old.
That is not lit.
It's not lit, but it's beautiful. And it creates this like really bizarre and beautiful dynamic that I've never seen in the video game that they, I think, really cared about it. And
that sounds like the opposite of what I thought the God of War series was. Something that's emotional and
no,
like,
totally.
An emotional and story.
It's a game that reckons with its past.
Thank you for saying that, Eric. That's exactly what it does.
That was good wording.
I'm very smart. Please continue.
The game is hyper aware of its history, and it constantly reckons with that. It's in this like dialogue with its past, and you can tell there's regret, there's shame, there's complexity. Even though and it's also being buried at the same time. There's a lot of like moments in the game where you can see Kratos is like having to reckon with his past while still engaging with his son, who's his future, and he's very young, so he doesn't know anything about it. And so he's like trying to shield his history, and it's almost impossible. So there are moments where he's like, there's cracks in his facade, and this like, you know, this perfect warrior, and he makes them human. It makes his son human. It makes the father human. And I loved this game, and I played it on like the hardest difficulty that you can do when you first start a game, and it was really fucking hard and unforgiving, especially in the very, very beginning. But it makes you feel like, you know, deeply satisfied with the entire experience. So I could talk about it for hours, but I want to say it's like it's got my full thumbs up. And I think if you end up watching the Dunkey review, it's his top choice for game of the year. So cheers.
Wait, the who review?
The video game Dunkey review. The one I was
talking
about.
He referenced this YouTube personality or whatever before.
Oh, so. I see.
Who you should be following because he's really funny and he's got insightful commentary.
Duly noted.
Okay, well, good.
Did we want to talk about anything else Switch or God of War great. Related?
Well, but we really didn't talk about Switch Online, did we?
Okay, like, go. What do you want to say about Switch Online?
Well, we can talk about also like the DLCs for Smash.
Oh, well, yeah, yeah.
Good point. Okay, so wait, what about online did you want to say, Eric?
It doesn't do enough.
Yeah, but it's Nintendo. Well. They're like 10 years behind.
Yeah, 10 years behind. It's like, hey, pay $20 for us to try to have decent servers.
But why do we have to?
And you have NES games.
I guess I know why. Like, we put up with it because it's Nintendo, but I just don't quite understand, like, why we're still at this point. Like, so $20 for a year. Oh.
Alex hates this, and I love it.
You love how much I hate it.
Yeah. I'm still... I'm not going to say this on air. Yes, I am. I'm surprised at how fortuitous your beard is. I'm proud of you.
Fortuitous? His beard is like it was luck?
No, I mean, like, it's strong. Fortuitous is strong, not lucky.
No, fortuitous is predicting good fortune.
Oh, well, it's fine. I mean strong. I mean... Fine, yeah, I'm wrong.
Kyle's totally right.
All
right,
podcast listeners, have you ever heard the stereotype that podcasters are like two men with beards? We are at three men with beards and a girl.
I'm so sorry.
Nah, whatever.
I can shave right now.
No, don't do it, man.
Hey, at least we're at two Jews and two Hispanics.
There you go. Well, it's something intersectionality. Who's counting
that's
down?
That's right.
Alex?
Vague sense of
yes, it's mine. It's mine. Let me just keep pouring. Hold on.
Keep pouring. Yeah.
Damn, this is a heavy
And yes, oh, yeah. I have another lime.
Bro, you're not using a shot glass. That's scary.
I know. Welcome to my life.
Oh, my life is scary. France did Yikes. Him in. The French taught him how to drink. Yikes. In Paris, they were like, no, this is how you drink, son. This
not in Paris, do. But yes, in Paris. Cheers.
Okay. Oh, sorry. 3, 2, 1, man. Give us
right, some. Right, you just say cheers. Have you been on this podcast before?
I know. I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. I'm gonna rectify the situation immediately. Ready? Uno, deux, trois.
What?
What? Just went? Okay, take the shot.
There you go.
Excuse me. I'm sorry.
Kyle died pre-shot.
I'm allergic to bullshit.
Wow, that's fucked up.
You're the one that went Spanish, French, French.
Hey.
Is that a problem? I could have said, what's the Italian?
Un, deux, trois. It's uno, due, tre.
Tre. I could have went uno, deux, tre, and that would have been...
Then it would have trilingual.
I was kidding. You're not full of bullshit. You've been a great podcast what's the word?
Actually, Kyle, he is.
Shut up! You just have a thing against him because of Fox. Listen, after a while, you have to accept Fox.
Correct.
Right?
I really like
Fox. I don't want to accept Fox.
I really like Fox.
I never will.
You just have to accept his dominance, and you have to learn to work around it.
God, it hurts.
It does.
Dude, all you gotta do...
Okay, but listen. Sakurai wanted that for Melee, but now you can play Ultimate and beat Foxes, so it's okay.
You're right. It's fine. I've let it go.
Go get off to that.
Bring it.
So here's the thing, Eric. You have the ultimate vindication.
Wow.
Leave.
To be honest, I named my study my ultimate training study, and I feel like that's like I've betrayed myself.
Yes.
Nah, you haven't. But Kyle, I do have a very interesting question for you. So not in terms of the question, but the answer. So when your history in the competitive scene, you were talking about how you as a woman has been the situation has been fraught in many different ways, I'm assuming, but you came, you went into the new study and your PhD with this knowledge and like an awareness and you were intentionally trying to record like the interactions and what that might like yield informationally and culturally. I gotta say,
you're very well spoken for someone who's drunk. Or maybe you're just more drunk than me. Please continue.
Both things. And I'm super, super curious about your experience in the Smash community. If there have been moments where you've been accepted more than others, or if you've had like a ton of really negative experiences as a woman and like still maintained your like pride.
Good question.
I'm just curious.
Good question.
That could be a whole podcast, but I would say that it's been a mixed bag, but generally I would say the way that society is right now, misogyny is sort of accepted, especially in spaces like gaming where men are the majority.
Yeah.
So, you know, some people have accused me of being too sensitive and seeing sexism everywhere, but that's kind of because there is sexism everywhere.
It is.
So I went to tournaments thinking, oh, they're gamers. They're used to being the outcast, the non-accepted of society. So if they see a gamer girl, they're also going to recognize that I'm not the standard girl, so maybe they'll accept me too, right? I walked in with that good faith. But it feels like time and time again, every time I got on the mic for commentary, it's grill, grill, grill. This girl doesn't know what she's talking about. She's flirting with her co-commentator.
I've watched Kyle a couple times actually on Twitch commentating and
Can we follow you on Twitch, by the way?
I don't have a Twitch stream. I just, you can follow me on Twitter. I'm DRPIGGYPHD.
Dr. Piggy okay. PhD.
And,
say it again at the end of the.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, but I tweet out when I'm commentating there. So I do get a lot of negative Twitch stuff.
There was a lot. The comment section, y'all.
I don't read it anymore because it's so psychologically damaging.
I don't blame you.
So, I mean, besides that, before I got brave enough to get on the mic, I'd go with my significant other to tournaments because he was a top player earning money for a little while. And, we stayed in a frat house one night and I was invisible. I would say something about the game because I know about the game despite not playing it very well. And some other guy would say it next to me and they would literally respond to him and not me. I didn't get the handshakes. I didn't get introduced. Cool. And those are small things, right? Those are small things. Like maybe those guys were just
jokes. That's a big thing. That's not a small thing. Okay,
yes, but some people online have told me that those are small things that aren't true sexism. It is true sexism, but whatever. So then, I go on Twitch chat. I go on Twitch. I commentate. I try to make it accessible to new players, and I try to make my commentary analytic. I don't just want it to be hype, or I don't just want it to be play-by-play, super grainy knowledge. And a lot of people think that means I don't know the game. So I've got a lot of bad feedback about that. And also when I do my research, I had my partner trained to be my research assistant so he could stand at the table with me.
That's awesome.
And which is great because I need help because it's just me and I like spend 12 hours at a tournament trying to get data.
Yeah.
And people think he's the PhD. And they think I'm the research assistant.
Yeah.
Because of his penis, right?
Yes, because of his because of his beard.
Yeah.
And there's been a lot of when people talk to me, they're like, so you're a psych student. Do you play Smash? And I'm like, oh my God. Like it feels like wherever I go, I have to prove that I'm not just here, quotes, for male attention.
Right.
And I'm not just here, that I actually, quote, know something about the game. And the standards are much higher than for like a random guy who just picks up Smash, right?
Yeah.
So I would say that despite my desire to not see sexism in Smash, I've experienced much more sexism in Smash than I'm comfortable with. And that's one of the reasons, like, this Code of Conduct Committee is super important to me, because I really want the women in Smash to be able to have a place where they're heard.
Yeah.
Like I said earlier, you know, there are players that have sexually harassed people and maybe they get banned for 6 months from their locals, but that's not enough.
No.
That's not enough if we actually want to ban or expand the scene and include women. So, I guess, yes, I've experienced a lot of sexism. Number one, when I get on the mic, that's the biggest.
Yeah.
That is the biggest.
Like when you show your face.
Yeah, when you show your face and they hear me and I'm a girl and I'm, you know, anything I say wrong is an entire damnation of my gender, not just like me making a mistake, right?
Totally.
Yeah. So,
I mean, there's a moment you were talking about how you have to, your style of commentary is reflective of like, you want to be speaking to both like people that are just getting into the scene and people that are like, you know, well versed in it. And like, so your commentary is a little more simplified and that you had to even defend it at all. Like you had to be like, all right, maybe my style is a little like simplified because I have to be talking to people that are maybe have never seen it before. The fact that you have to defend it is crazy to me because that should not be defended. That's like a style of commentary that should be respected in any context, whether you're a woman or a man. And like, it's just kind of indicative of how fucked up the scene is, not just in Smash, but I think probably at large, and that you're just privy to like the darker
video games at large.
Yeah, video games for sure. But
I did an informal study of my Overwatch play whenever I used voice chat, and that was very depressing. Ooh. Smash is better because at least in person people. Yeah, no. In person people are
never played.
Are
never
slower.
I want to create a tier list for like sexism in video games. I feel like Fortnite is probably number one, and that's just like.
I feel like Overwatch is not far behind.
Yeah, no, Overwatch.
Yeah, right there. I'm sure. Call of Duty is like right there. I don't know. Like League, absolutely.
Oh yeah,
dude. I don't know.
People still play League. Huh?
Any competitive scene I feel like is fraught with just a lot of the reason I think that a lot of outcasted men feel like they can be shitting on you verbally is because they feel like they're one very small corner of the world that they can have any remote sense of dominance or power is with women, against women, against women.
Listen, whatever. They already lost Gillette, so like,
what do they so have?
So now,
left?
What
they
do they do?
Left. Yeah, exactly.
They have nothing left.
Yeah, it's, I mean,
well, it's also like just going off what you said, Alex. Like Kyle, even the fact that you have to say like prove, like the verb prove, you know, like that tells you everything you almost need to know. Like, why does there have to be the burden of proof upon you as a woman in this kind of community? Like, I didn't know how to finish this thought, but it's messed up. Yeah.
It's strange too, because there are many code of conduct cases I deal with that are perpetuated by women. A lot of people who have internalized misogyny that say, yes, sure, we are genetically, quote, quote, inferior to men, or we aren't as good reaction time, which is total bullshit. These are conversations I have with other women. I might not be willing to engage with a Twitter random that's a boy, but when it's a girl, I feel especially called to talk to them and educate them, right? Ooh. And so there are plenty of women out there who are like, girls just aren't thick-skinned enough, which is bullshit. Because any girl, whether she's thin or thick-skinned, deserves to enjoy video games.
Yeah.
Or girls aren't naturally competitive, which is bullshit if you look at women's sports or at like the way that women treat their children. Like they want their children to win all the soccer games. I don't know. Like there are so many unexamined prejudices out there.
Beach volleyball.
Watch the Olympics, any women's sport than the Olympics.
Dude, if you watch fucking... Yeah. Oh, God.
Men are trash.
I'm sorry, I confused their names, but whichever Williams sister it was that like broke the racket and like then that whole drama that happened.
Probably year. Serena.
I think it was Serena. Yeah, because Venus doesn't compete anymore. I don't think. I think it was Serena.
No.
Are you talking about the Federer quote?
No, she like when she was facing off against the younger, I believe it was a Japanese girl, and the Japanese girl won.
Right.
Oh yeah, yeah.
By the way, thank you for letting Drunk Me rant about sexism in gaming. There's not that many places.
Well, I feel like this has become the real topic of the podcast. Who cares about Switch Online?
Well, I just...
It's garbage. We know that now.
There are only so many places where I can say these things. Like, even saying a third of what I've said, I get a lot of backlash online of people doubting me, of people saying, oh, you didn't study this scientifically. Actually, I did. I have a publication. But, you know, I'm thankful that you three are here to listen to me and, like,
Yo, I will publicize the shit out of anything you have to say.
Well, you know what, Kyle? You know what, women? Tequila is a safe space.
That's right.
Gonna say it right now. Podcast name, safe space.
Even when we're drunk, that's impressive.
That's right.
All right, all right, the shot.
So, this is number 8 by my lime count.
Is it? Oh, no. I've lost track.
Alex counted? Last?
Yeah. This is another reason why I do limes, have no idea otherwise.
I'll count again because I did the shitty French Spanish.
Oh, version. You're fine. It was fine.
I think it's my turn by now.
Yeah,
it's actually Erickson.
It's my turn. It's me.
Please.
It's you.
It's actually Kyle's turn again.
No.
It's me, then Kyle, then Eric.
That means we are at 8. Oh, shit.
That is.
We're fucked. Because
I was at 4. Okay.
Can we stop soon?
No, the answer is no.
Y'all
just drink. Right. Just drink your instead of your
dumb question. Okay. It's tequila 50. Let's do it.
That's right.
Go ahead.
50, motherfucker. Okay, 50. Woo. Cheers. This is number 50.
Cheers. We love you.
The midlife crisis. Salud.
Number 50.
Drink.
Shout out to Burke.
That guy.
What's Burke?
Burke is the guy who I started this podcast with.
Oh, awesome.
He is doing his PhD in Geneva, Switzerland right now.
Dude, badass.
And the three of us did, what did we do, like
a lot of
10?
Episodes together.
Yeah, wait, like why 15 have I never met together?
This guy? What?
I've never met this guy.
I mean, Eric's never met him in person.
No, I've never met him even on the podcast.
Yeah,
Burke has yet to be back because he's like on a weird time schedule and also his alcohol tolerance is garbage.
I'm on a weird time schedule. I did it in Paris. I'm not going to use the phrase man up again ever again, but I...
That's fair.
Time's up! Are you saying man's up?
I will take this audio segment and I will send it to him and then he'll be on.
Great.
I've got to pee, So thanks for listening about my sexism rant. But if I didn't answer your question, we can have that conversation later. Okay. So I
In a minute. Pause the timer. Pause the timer.
Okay, fine. I'll pause the timer. You fucking
pause the timer.
You don't have to do that.
I don't know. No, I'm resuming the timer. She said not to. She has more say than you do. Yeah, I mean, I've wanted to have Kyle on to talk about the I don't know what it's called, the committee or whatever she was on. Say what?
Conduct.
The code of conduct. Is it a committee though? What's the word?
Yeah.
A committee, yeah.
I think it's incredibly important. Like,
of course,
profoundly
it is.
Important.
Yeah. I mean, it's also like a greater. It's
believe the women,
right? It's obviously not just a gaming
seriously,
problem.
Seriously, though, they'll like seriously believe the women. Why is that? It shouldn't bathroom. Even be like a,
Daniel,
the butt of a
it's
joke.
Purple
or, like,
in your bathroom.
Oh, it's purple.
What the heck?
It's purple in my bathroom because I have grow lights on for our
wait,
chili peppers.
Wait, Kyle, okay. Tell me about his bathroom. No.
Just turn the other light on.
It's
whoops.
A solid. Bathroom.
Anyway.
Yikes.
Where's
yikes.
Your where's your dog, man?
She's sleeping. This is
I
live in
the
podcast.
Background.
You're just trying to make passive conversation.
Okay.
I'm not
this is
a
live podcast.
I'm like, not cutting
the timer's
out.
Still going.
Yeah.
What are we talking about?
The timer's
now?
Still
what?
Going. I don't know, man. Look, I am like deeply offended. I'm deeply offended at all the things we talked about this podcast. The sexism more than anything, but the fact that like
okay.
There's no GameCube games on my Switch, I'm pissed.
Right.
I'm pissed.
No, it's stupid. Like it really is stupid. Like
yeah, but you're not
how
offended.
Many how many months has Nintendo Switch Online been in service? Like
it's
what
been,
three?
Since
three,
September,
four?
I think. Yeah, however many that's been.
Okay, so wait. Like you only have NES games, like for real?
Yeah, get
like,
the fuck out of here.
Wait, hold on. Does Switch yeah. have does Nintendo have any plans of releasing
a virtual console? Hell no. When I was watching this guy review the Metroid Prime games, I remember the Metroid Prime 3 has a lot of Wii mechanics where it takes advantage of the nunchuck motion things, and porting that to the Switch would be a huge pain in the ass. And so I get why some of the games from GameCube or Wii are not available on the Switch because of stuff like that. At the same time, I would like the previous games would not be a problem. GameCube games would not be a problem. At least GameCube games. Like, I don't know, man. I don't know.
I just want Super Mario Sunshine.
Super Mario Sunshine, and we were talking about
Wind
Luigi's
Waker.
Mansion.
And
also,
Wind Waker.
There are rumors, if we're going to like segue into the rumor mill, I'm about to do it. There are rumors that Skyward Sword is going to be ported to the Switch.
Oh, that was good. I enjoyed that game a lot.
Okay, Eric, we have. There's a segment that we do every episode. What's every episode that you're on? What's it called?
Is it recommended apps?
What's it called? No.
Fuck.
No. What's it called, Eric?
I'm too drunk for this shit.
Dude, come on, you can do it. You can do it.
What Daniel,
it?
Be nice.
I believe in you.
Spoon feed him.
What is it?
So we walk up to a.
Nope. Shut up.
I can't do the intro. Wow.
I know. No, you can. I'm sorry.
So
this is episode 50. Dan, you do the intro. You
so
do the intro.
The
I'll
us,
bring us home.
The four of
yeah.
us. We walk up to an unmarked door, and we knock, and they have you know one of those like eye slits in the door.
Okay.
And they ask what the password is. Eric, what's the password?
Rumor mill.
And they're like, okay. And so we get in, and as we go down,
it's an easy password.
Yeah, that's right. So. As we go down the stairs,
I was gonna say like fuck ton of orcs as the password. I'm in D&D mode now that you set the stage, Daniel. Thank you.
I'm sorry.
No, don't apologize. Let's go.
Okay, so we walk down. Okay, go, Eric, if you're gonna take it.
So like, it's the four of us. We open this door.
Can I be the mage?
This is just becoming
yes.
a conversation
okay,
about
this. This is not an RPG.
This is not even
sure.
just a conversation.
This is not a party, but.
Well,
okay.
Go on. The four of us walk downstairs. I'm picturing,
the four
like.
Of us.
You're saying this is not fantasy, so I'm picturing, like, maybe some graffiti on the walls because we're going to a club together.
Yeah.
Imagine
yeah,
this is like a.
Can you roll for charisma?
This is a.
Speakeasy.
So
it's and
it's the four of us.
It's the 30s.
It's the 1930s.
Okay. All right, I'm wearing one of those cute flapper dresses.
That's right.
You're a flapper.
What am I wearing, Eric?
Your suit. Oh, sorry.
You're wearing, like, literally what you would always wear.
A beard. A beard.
Because you're already 1930s
Like, I don't know. LA is like 70 years behind in an ironic
bro.
Way, I think.
No, I think they're so far ahead that, like, the vintage has become 1930s, and thus it is trending.
So derailed.
Okay, please, yeah. please continue. What happens?
Yeah, probably.
This is called 8-shot tequila. I mean, tequila.
That's right.
Anyway, yeah. So the four of us, we've gained entry into this exclusive club.
Uh-huh.
Off the street, we've given the correct password, which is Rumor Mill, which is the name of the segment by chance. Who'd have thought that? So we're descending down below street level, I'll tell you that much.
Okay.
And it's kind of the kind of environment where you want to be a little bit quieter, like I'm being right now. And the stair is a little bit creaky. Perfect timing.
This description is taking at least 7 minutes of your time.
Can you please tell me what happens next? I need to know.
Dude, I'm so
I would love to tell you.
Should
after
be
the
continued
shot.
After the show.
Dude, I'm so turn. Fucked up. Dude, I'm okay. Ridiculous.
Wait, is it? Up. I thought I did. Did I go last?
No, you went last, so it's
oh,
my
so
turn.
Oh, so it is your turn.
Yes,
correct.
So we're on 9, correct. And that means y'all should like be kind to yourselves and. Pour your shot, maybe less than to the full. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't been pouring. I've been pouring this much.
Good. Okay.
I mean,
well,
the point of these shots is half shots, but
what, bitch? You're drinking out of a wine glass. That's not half shots. That's like three shots in a shot. I didn't know you could make that sound.
Impressive.
That's a sound that a human.
That
can
was
make.
From you. Oh my god, we should all like
mouth breathers.
No, that's like that mouth snaking.
The Smash community.
No, you didn't. I couldn't make that joke, but you can make that joke.
Dude, my Twitter handle is @binge_watch.
That was disgusting. That was rough. That
I,
was
I hope that you make that while you're commentating. That sound.
Nope. Never.
Please
never.
Never make that sound.
All right. Again. All right. This is shot time.
This is shot time.
Dos.
Uno.
Woo-wee!
I didn't even know I could make that sound. Well, I knew, but it's been a very long time since I made that
now
sound.
Now you can listen to it on the podcast. It's immortalized.
It's not a great sound.
It's been immortalized.
Okay, shut up, chef.
Okay, go.
Okay, we're going down the stairwell. It's 1930s. Alex is wearing his normal clothes. I'm wearing flapper's dress. And
setting the scene.
Correct.
We already put in the correct password. What next?
Correct.
Go on.
So, we're going down these stairs, and
this is ASMR, by the way.
I'll be honest.
That's the point.
Each of these stairs is pretty creaky, but that just tells you. Yeah, it's like that.
Bro, do you have a creaky sound? Oh my god!
Yeah.
Okay.
The one it's of like, the nine sounds you have is a creaky sound. Literally, right. you got so lucky.
Every step so makes lucky. That sound, but also there's a out like there's a. There's a burst of dust. It flies up in our face. Like, okay. Oh, yeah.
That's not on the soundboard.
It's old.
Keep going.
It's old. It's old is what I'm trying to say.
Uh-huh. Okay, uh-huh. Great.
So we come out into this room, and there are other luminaries there. I'm not even going to tell you the names.
Are
the
we talking like
who are here
Edison level?
In the rumor mill.
Okay, whatever.
Luminaries.
I'm going to just like give you a few hints to some of their... Some of their names, Gil Bates.
Oh my god.
Who the fuck is that?
Bill Gates, dude.
Jeeves Sobs.
And
the guy that wanted to send submarines to go rescue the Chilean people that were underneath.
No, okay. We're not talking about him.
And Milan Eos.
There we go.
No, I refuse
dude,
to include
he's
him.
He's so weird, dude. I hate him.
Just, I don't yes, know who you're talking about.
Anyway,
but,
okay, we go so into this room. It's full of
so some of the top, so like, you know, we're talking about some of the top movers and shakers.
And people who glow.
And people, yep, in the tech and gaming community. We're there. The four of us are there.
Oh, my God.
So we're just being respectful. We sit down at our own table. I would call it kind of a cafeteria setup, honestly.
That's awesome.
And the reason I'm talking like this is because, like, you kind of got to keep your voice down because you don't.
This is
You don't know who's listening. You don't know who's listening, especially
in the
past
couple months, you know, like Amazon's listening, Facebook's listening, everybody's listening.
True.
So we may as well keep our voices down for the purposes of this segment. The segment is called Rumor Mill.
Okay, Alex thoughtfully strokes his beard. Let's put some role play in this. Otherwise, get to the point. Oh my god, the creaky sound just happened.
Oh my god. That was amazing.
Kyle.
Alex attacks Eric with a knife.
No, roll for strength. No pub brawls.
It's too late. I already rolled.
Okay. Eric makes a comment about Fox. He's done. Never mind.
Okay, so rumor mill.
So.
You got
what,
the rumors.
So what do all of us discuss in the rumor mill? Well,
rumors.
Today, because we're talking about Super Smash Bros. Ultimate so much here in the rumor mill, I've got a couple juicy rumors for all of you. I hope you'll listen.
Is Sakurai here?
This is...
Yeah?
I'm
yeah.
so
tired. Okay. So, let me pull up the article.
Not me pull up the article. Let me pull it up.
He was not immediately prepared.
We're supposed to whisper in the rumor mill. He forgot to mention that.
No, he did mention that.
Oh, well,
let the DM describe.
You're screaming the rumor mill. Gil Bates is looking at you. He's like, what's up with this?
What's up with her?
She's not.
What's up with this? What were you going with that statement?
What's up with this? Meaning she's not keeping the appropriate tone for the rumor mill. Anybody.
Okay,
any
so
man.
Go.
I'm Eric, getting off topic.
Go.
The rumor is that besides Joker from Persona 5, which you already know.
Oh my god.
Dude, DLC. I play that game. That's an 80 hour long game. Minimum.
It is, and it's good, though.
Kyle, for the rumor mill, you are deafening.
I'm going to eat this microphone now.
Besides.
Oh, no one saw that.
She ate the microphone.
Me.
She ate it. For those at home, she ate it.
I'm going to put it back.
She sexually consumed it.
Anything goes down here in the rumor mill. We're underground. Besides from Persona 5 Joker, rumors say that we may also see four other DLC characters, including Erdrick from Dragon Quest.
I've heard that
Ryu,
one.
Ryu Hayabusa from Ninja Gaiden, which I am so fucking hype about.
That would be so sick.
That would be so fucking sick, brah.
Bruh.
Steve. We're going to call him Steve.
From Minecraft?
From Minecraft.
From Blue's
Clues. Indeed.
Clues.
Indeed. Nope. He's a criminal.
What? No, he's not.
And he is.
What? Yeah. No.
No, Steve is, yeah.
We're talking about this later. Go on.
And lastly, the Doom guy from Doom.
The Doom guy.
As the last Doom. DLC character for Super Smash Bros. Ultimate.
Okay, my pet theory is Sora from Kingdom Hearts.
Interesting. That's valid as well because we already have... Also, shut up. Like, keep your voice lower. But we already have Cloud, so that makes a lot of sense.
And I mean, they're gonna release Kingdom Hearts 3 soon. So if they included Sora, that would be like advertising. Was that an appropriate level?
Advertising. That's good. That's pretty good.
Okay, I want y'all to know that I'm sitting at Daniel's desk right now, and there are like two tiny pieces of microphone puff on the desk. That might be my fault.
But you have no regrets, though, right?
No regrets.
Please have no regrets. That's all that matters.
Please have
no
regrets. Okay. How about this, guys?
Alex,
I got one more.
Eric, I have a question for you.
Oh, okay. Alex, go ahead.
I want to make sure. Is Joker confirmed?
Yep.
Joker is confirmed.
1,000%.
Okay. That's all I care about. Go on.
Do you have any more easy questions?
Is Minecraft a game?
It's six. So one more rumor for all of you.
I have many.
Now,
go on.
Okay, but like not yet. So we are already talking about why is there only NES for the Switch Online? Well, let me tell you something. recently, this month, some top-notch data miners got into Nintendo systems, and they found some shit.
Some
guys.
Shit. What shit?
And they uncovered
Gil
super, super SNES. They found some SNES games.
SNES.
You can call it that. Coming to Switch Online. And I'm not going to list all of them for you, but the list is pretty gosh darned good.
Listen. Have you ever played Animal Crossing? Because in Animal Crossing, you can get Super Nintendo systems that are equipped with the game of SNES, right? Like, those games are so tiny that it's very easy to put them anywhere, including in a GameCube title. So
it's so easy. It's so easy. Yeah. But they haven't done it until now.
Listen.
Let me throw some names to you. 1 second. You can tell me to listen in 1 second. How about Star Fox? How about Star Fox 2? How about Super Ghosts and Ghouls?
How about Mother?
How about Mother? I actually don't see Mother. But how about Super Punch Out? How about Super Metroid? How about Super Mario World 2 and Super Mario World 1? That's not bad.
What's the game that messes from?
It's not bad, Daddy-O.
I still want GameCube games.
Okay, you know what? You know what? Let's get out of the rumor mill because I have all the relevant info I was going to give you guys.
Say it now.
I'm fresh out. No, all right. Listen.
I'm taking control.
Oh no,
Eric.
Okay.
Just used an extremely extended metaphor of Dungeons and Dragons feeling to communicate to us that SNES titles have been found in the data of Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. So does that mean that they're going to include that as DLC characters? I don't know. Anybody's guess. Now we're going to take a
I actually didn't know that.
Is Eric full of shit?
Okay.
Tune in next week.
Another 25 minutes of dust clearing.
Honestly, I didn't know that either. But whatever they decide is probably going to be driven by marketing concerns because Nintendo cares about Nintendo, and Smash is a way that many people engage with Nintendo.
Okay, well, so we're at the rumor mill. We can talk normally now. I don't even know what were we just talking about?
No, we're in the rumor mill.
Oh, you do? Oh, I'm sorry. We're actually back in the rumor mill.
Okay, let Daniel talk for one more.
We're going back down the stairs. we're back down there. Sorry, Dan.
Okay, so.
That's the stairs.
Here we go. So.
You have a stairs button? No, you do not. Play it again.
Hey.
Oh, that's it. Okay, it's a door like awkward.
Hey,
that's right.
What do you got?
Okay.
What do you got?
Okay. Y'all,
you're talking way too loud.
Y'all,
way too loud.
Shut up, bro. I know what I'm doing.
No. You don't.
Okay. Hold up. Okay. So you know them Pixel phones,
that's,
though, right?
Don't do this.
That's perfect.
Those Pixel phones.
You're talking that.
Okay.
You're perfect.
So you got the Pixel 2. You got the Pixel 3. That shit is cool, right? Except for that big ass notch. It's ugly as fuck. But anyway,
it sucks.
Yeah, it's an ugly ass notch. Anyway, rumors, and this is like very like soft rumors because they're basically confirmed. But so the Pixel 3 came out in October, right? And so,
yes,
was supposed to come out soon. Is apparently there's going to be. So y'all remember. Before the Pixel line, there was the Nexus line, and people loved the Nexuses because they were cheap as fuck. So apparently Google's going to release a Google Pixel 3 Lite, quote unquote, that is going to be cheaper than the current Pixel 3 phone. And it's going to be a toned down version of the Pixel 3.
Hey, Daniel, the nerd about tech, this wasn't on the agenda.
This is on my brain agenda.
That's my reaction.
Psych!
That was my mental reaction. Woo! I kept it to myself.
That was a good rumor.
Okay, wait. I got one more. that we haven't talked about on this podcast, but everyone knows.
Okay.
Supposedly this year there's going to be a Nintendo Switch Pro or some shit that drops.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Okay, I'm sorry. That was my burp. That is a deliberate money grab.
Whisper.
Okay. That is.
That was a powerful burp, and I respect it. So, here in the rumor mill.
I assert my dominance in many ways, but one of them is burping better than the men around me.
That's right.
Honestly, that burp should have been in the Gillette ad, but...
I can't! I can't!
Wait, talk about the pro, Switch Pro. Go.
So, Nintendo has come out with many different versions of the 3DS. For example, the 2DS. Oh, Sadie's calling me. No, she's calling Daniel. Oh, and now the shot timer went off.
This is our last shot.
Okay, all right. No. Alex has drawn a boundary, and we need to respect it. Listen.
This is Alex's boundary. This the is not one thing.
No, this is my last one.
Okay. The one thing.
Because I'm out of limes.
All right.
We made it. We made it to your fucking end of limes. You had 12 limes ready, which is amazing.
Actually, 10.
Whatever. Whatever I'm saying is not important.
No, say no, it.
Hold on. That's fucked up. Let's not say that again.
No, I just mean Nintendo finds different ways than like Xbox to money grab, right? And Nintendo, it's like coming out with 10 different systems to do the same thing.
I agree.
And for Xbox, it's DLC.
I agree, but I disagree. Yeah, for instance,
that's accurate.
I agree, but I disagree. In the sense
okay,
that...
hold on. Daniel, let's take the shot.
We're taking one.
Wait,
this is our last. I'm sorry. This is my last.
I forget
shot.
Whose turn it is to count. This is our last shot.
I think it's my turn by now. Okay. Probably.
So Enrique Shulkin. That's not how you say Eric in Spanish.
That's Henry. Eric.
Eric en français. Tu parles français?
Tequila 50, man. Unbelievable.
Have you ever been so drunk you blew bubbles into your shot?
No. Okay. Salud.
No.
Dude, Eric, you have a wine glass. It's not gonna work.
Yeah, dude. I'm getting there. One second. Jesus Christ.
I'm waiting. This smells like rubbing alcohol.
Yes, my son.
It is alcohol.
3, 2, 1. Tequila.
Okay, fine. Last shot. I won't set the timer. I agree with you, Kyle, in that like Nintendo is very good at money grabs. I will say that. I think that the Switch is a new paradigm that is more comparable to the DS or 3DS line than it is comparable to the console line, where there will be incremental upgrades. That is all I have to say.
Sure.
And so, like, an incremental upgrade, I think, makes sense in terms of, like, also rumor.
We're at the rumor mill, by the way. We're at it.
Talking about rumors, I guess. Previous rumor mills that we've talked about.
Hey, I'd be willing to do this one shot, just FYI.
There you go.
Wait, what do you mean by that?
She means like one more.
You good for 11?
You're good for one more.
I mean, by one shot, I mean in gaming, you can either have a long campaign or you could have one shot sessions where you just like pick one session to like
play. Thank God.
So I'm saying that I'd be willing to play a 3-hour campaign in the rumor mill.
There we go. I mean, that's just all a right. podcast called all the rumor right. mill.
Cool. I like that you like
that's
the
right.
rumor mill.
So, honestly. Ultimately, my point is that we'll break things and they'll fall.
But we're out of there. We're, like, just to give some brief characterization for all of us.
Yeah, we're
out on the street. Right. We're out in the light of the sun. You know, we don't have to hide anything anymore.
So, the DS and the 3DS are known for their, like, incremental updates, right? You had the DS, you had the DS Lite, you had the DSi, et cetera, et cetera. You had the... Diet Coke can that Alex is showing off.
A crumpled Diet Coke can.
You had a...
It means I'm fucking drunk.
3DS
in
XL.
Some way... Well, it's that, but wait, also...
Additional rumor that Eric has been on previously to talk about is that...
Right.
Supposedly, if you have a Switch, there may or may not be an upgrade program where you can turn in your Switch to get the incremental update for a hugely discounted price, supposedly.
Isn't that just GameStop?
I suppose Wait. So, to a certain degree. But Have similar I to talked like the about iPhone that? Upgrade program.
I don't remember that, to be honest.
You were there. You consumed alcohol.
Right. That means you're part of it.
Well, you know what? Sounds right to me.
That's right.
Okay.
Seems good, man.
Woo!
Feels good, man.
All right. So, I guess we're done here. Thanks for listening to this episode. Okay, I'm going to let y'all plug your shit. Alex, where can people find you? Go.
Yo, The Idealist. T-H-E-I-D-E-A-L-I-S-T at on Instagram. The Idealist.
He ideals things. He's an idealist. Kyle, where can people find you?
At D-R-P-I-G-G-Y-P-H-D, Dr. Piggy. I also have a research Twitter at K-Y-L-E-N-O-L-L-A. But that is boring in comparison.
That's like her official one. But Dr. Piggy PhD is like her
where you get the memes.
Her fun one. Okay, Eric, where can people find you?
I don't know. Don't talk to me.
Don't talk to me.
Oh no.
Leave me alone.
Binge watch.
I really like have nothing to contribute. So
fuck up. I mean shut up. Shut the fuck up.
Fuck up, bitch.
Give us your Twitter.
Go.
It's binge underscore watch.
He's trying to sell it.
I'm trying to. It's true. I've said that a few times. But I would rather support my friends. So.
That's
so true. I have a lot to say.
Bro, we all just promoted ourselves. You're allowed to promote yourself.
We're going
to
miss you. We're going to miss you, Eric.
That's right.
We're going to miss you again.
That's right. I'm trash.
Good night.
You're trash. I don't know if you are trash.
But that's where you end the episode for sure. I'm trash.
The best man.
Instead of forgetting and letting them into the setting like sediment on that part. Mix it up with six guy, rage against machine, bitter J-Rock, K-Dot. Switch it up, gangsta, getting on my stage props, dilla with the beats and catch me singing like a...
As always, thanks for tuning in to this episode of Tequila.
Mama call me Eshwa, running out of time with the Harry Potter head scar. I ain't got a desk job.
For the regular listeners, I'd like to thank you for your support and ask that you please help us to continue to improve the show by heading over to our Patreon page and donating $1 a month.
Head farts, yeah, that's for all your gum smack, mud flap, scuzz bag, unwrapped sex.
By donating just $1 a month, you'll really be helping us out, and you'll get Tequila closer to hitting our goal of $30 per month.
Yeah, this is how I rap before I hit it. Top shit, but I still respect women.
Once that goal is reached, I personally will be designing and sending each of you a tequila-branded shot glass or two to show my appreciation. So head over to patreon.com/tequila to support the show. That's Patreon, which is spelled patreon.com/tequila.
Like egregious kids suggest in front and like Jesus and elitist pimps come from Mars and bitches come from Venus. The way I see us is my strength is all your weakness. Treat them like a hedonist. Every obstacle defeated. Preach it, I'm a seed of weed.
Remember, you can submit topics for the show and interact with me and guests on the subreddit, which is found at reddit.com/r/tequila.
That's for all your Joe rap smoke ploys. That's for all your go rag, no half, low grab. Oh,
you can follow Tequila on Twitter for the latest hot takes on tech news at TequilaCast.
Watchlist, that did it. This is how I rap before I hit it. Talk shit, but I still respect women.
The Tequila theme song is Ride Out by Yeshua, spelled Y-S-H-W-A. You can also find him online as Vincent Augustus. Thanks, y'all.